In 1972, still just 17 years of age, John Callanan played for Clare Minor under-21s and senior teams in the Championship. It was the summer when he set off on a journey in the blue and gold that would last 15 years. He completed his hurling career with 2 All-Stars awards, 2 National League medals and 3 Railway Cup triumphs as well. In his autobiography, John tells the story of his hurling life as well as his personal life, from losing his father at the age of 9 to his school days in St. Flannan's to adopting with his wife in the 1980s. John Callanan, former Clare hurler and Ennis Bay solicitor, joins me on the line. John, good morning to you.
Morning, Pat. Morning.
Good to talk to you. I have to ask you, where did the book come out of? Where were you inspired to put all of this into a book, into writing?
I don't know, was it inspiration? A little bit of persuasion. Liam Hayes, the publisher and former Meath footballer, telephoned me and put the idea in my head. I was very reluctant. I didn't see that there was a story. So with a bit of persuasion, and I suppose being somewhat flattered, and I came around to the idea. It wasn't conceived by me anyway, Pat.
I know how shy you are, John, but going back, I suppose the 90s, it was all stands out for us, but it had to start somewhere. You would have been playing in the 70s and into the 80s as well, and I suppose you remember not only playing in the old field in Clare Castle, but also in Rosslevin when they were rebuilding Cusick Park. They were great days for Clare hurling too.
In Tulla? Yes. Absolutely, I mean, when we had to move from Cusick Park because of the renovations, the team was sort of coming together at the time, so it was coincidental. So then our arrival and the sort of the romantic appeal of rural Tulla, to cut a lot of people's imagination, and a lot of our opponents for some reason didn't like playing there, and they probably put it down to the venue. But we weren't a bad team either, so we were winning a lot of our home matches, and it gave us sort of a fortress Tulla, which was fine by us. We didn't mind that. If the opposition didn't feel welcome there, that was all right by us.
You don't remember playing out behind the Grove in Rosslevin?
Oh, I do, of course.
I thought my memory was shot.
I thought you were gone.
Of course.
County, I don't think, in Rosslevin. Oh, I played plenty of matches in Rosslevin, and tough matches in Rosslevin, yes.
Of course, you wore the black and white of the Magpies in Clare Castle and Clare as well. But when did your interest in hurling really begin? Were you born with a hurling in your hand, as they say?
That's, I suppose, the metaphor for the... I mean, there isn't... When I was growing up in Clare Castle, everybody hurled. It wasn't that you made a conscious decision. There was a hurling environment, a hurling atmosphere. And, John Hanley was the principal of the school, and John was a dyed-in-the-wool hurling man, and a man ahead of his time in terms of coaching. He was involved in the Cormac and coaching. So he allowed us to hurl. It was a big part of the curriculum, I'll put it to you that way, Pat.
Yes.
So there was no conscious decision, but it was the environment, and we all hurled.
Back in the 70s, John, it was presumably pretty much the same as now. There are certain teams who are hard to beat. There are certain teams you want to beat. Cork and Kilkenny probably would have been top of the list back there as well.
Yeah, Cork and Kilkenny and Limerick probably were in Munster was obviously Cork and Limerick. Tip weren't a big feature in the 70s. They went, I love reminding very people that they went 9 years without winning a Munster Championship match, not to mind a Munster Championship in at that time. So yeah, Cork had a 3-in-a-row team in the 70s, 76, 77, 78, so they were the team, they were our nemesis as far as the Championship is concerned. But I mean, over a period of 4 or 5 years, we were very consistent, started from 74, I think, right through to 79. I think we qualified for at least the semi-final of the league and the final of the league on maybe 3 occasions and won 2. So we were fairly consistent, but just couldn't get past Cork. I think our timing was a little bit off.
Some great players, and of course, Gerlach Nam went on later on to manage the Clare team. Was it as big a deal for you guys back in 77 and 78 to win the league for the first time since the 40s as it was for Clare to win the All-Ireland in 95 for the first time since 1914? Was that as big a deal for you guys then?
I don't know. Probably not. But it was massive. It was still huge for us. I mean, it was in 77. We'd been beaten in the final, sorry, in the final line of replay in 76, and we got back to the final in 77. So, you know, to make, as we would have seen for our group, and I suppose by extension for Clare, who hadn't won a league since 46, it was a huge deal of the national title, and it sort of indicated what we were doing or what we were trying to do in terms of making a team. And then we came back and won again in 78, and it further endorsed what we thought we were doing right. But to say, I suppose nothing will compare to the All-Ireland in 95 for all of us who were alive and there to see it.
You enjoyed it all, presumably. You're playing all the time between Clancastle and Flannans and inter-county level and all of that. Did you enjoy your time, really enjoy your time playing hurling?
Yeah, that isn't really a good question, because I suppose if I didn't, why was I doing it?
We're looking back on it.
We're looking back at it. Yeah, I suppose you don't necessarily enjoy the games, you enjoy the... enjoy the training and the camaraderie and the and striving to improve and obviously striving to win. But I found every match tough. You know, I found it's a bit like the golfers. You know the way they say it's always tough out there. You know, I didn't find hurling easy. So I felt I had to work hard at it, and I found every game and every opponent very tough. Overall, I suppose the title kind of the book is To Play to Live. I was playing because that's how I lived. We also had some great days. I mean, you know, the wins in Tulla, were, we always celebrated them probably more so than they do nowadays. And that social side of it was very enjoyable.
And what about when you finished playing? And do you remember what age you were when you stopped playing? You played... For a long time, yeah.
Well, I did. I played at county until 1987. I was 32 then, and I played then for a couple of more years. I played senior. I came back and played. I left Clarecastle to play with Partine, where I was living at the time, for a couple of years. And I came back and I played senior again in 1992. And then my cruciate ligament decided that was the end of it. So there wasn't any choice. Ultimately, there was no choice. I had to retire or stop playing anyway. Whatever about retiring.
Is there a suggestion, John, or is there a true story in that some county team came looking for you in terms of going up and coaching?
Yeah, that's yeah. In 1998, which was, you know, if anybody that's old enough to remember that year, as South Clare hurling was concerned, I was approached by the county secretary of Offaly, and after the Bab Keating sheep in a heap remark when Offaly were beaten in the finals, they were looking for a manager, and they asked me to know would I be interested, and I was sort of flattered, and I had an arrangement made to meet with him, and in Killaloe, and I'd spoken to Eamon Cregan, who I knew well, who had been the manager before Babs, and he had encouraged me, and I was, you know, I was flattered and I was interested, and I mean, an inter-county team would have been great, but on the day I was to meet him, I rang him and said, look, I would have been going to the meeting under false pretenses because I wouldn't have taken the job. There were phrases used like you'd be well looked after. I was very interested to know what that would be, whatever that means. But I said, my loyalty wouldn't allow me to manage or coach or indeed assist in any way any possible opposition to Clare. And I would have found the same thing. You know, I wouldn't have ever wanted to coach another club against Clarecastle. So
of course.
So I passed it over, and I dodged the bullet when you see what happened afterwards with the Jimmy Cooney and the three matches between Clare and Offaly. I would not have liked to have been on the other dugout against Clare. No, something different might have happened that year, but yeah, no, that's a bullet I have no problem in allowing pass. But it was an interesting. Offer at the time.
The book isn't all about hurling, John. It's very personal as well. It's about your life, obviously. How difficult was it to put a lot of those things, particularly losing your dad at such a young age? How difficult was it putting all that in writing?
Well, part of the deal, I suppose, with Liam Hayes was, there wasn't just going to be a kind of a list of matches that we won or a longer list of matches maybe that we lost. And he encouraged me to, I suppose, into the social side of it. And that sort of appealed to me, both, you know, not so much maybe the personal side of it, but certainly the social side of it, of growing up in Clarecastle and Glennon's and all of that. But, I mean, I had to, you know, I had to deal with my father's early death, and it wasn't easy doing that, but it was I still felt for it to be sort of true and honest, it had to be looked at, and I was very young, and it didn't actually affect me sort of as emotionally as I thought, looking back, that it should have. But I think I was just too young. I just didn't really even understand at 9 years of age, you know, what death was. So Anthony Daly's father died, I think, when Anthony was 10, and we've had conversations about it. I think it had a far greater emotional impact on Anthony, actually, than my own father's death on me, which is a bit strange.
You're still very young at the time, of course, as well. And what else can, and not wanting to give too much away in the book, how personal does it get? What else do you talk about? Just give a flavour, shall we say.
Well, that was the other thing I sort of said to Liam Hayes, that I didn't really think I had anything that would kind of sell the book. You know, I had no big story or any of my major flaws. If I had them, I wasn't going to disclose them anyway. So, look, you know, I was genuinely not sure if there was a story, because I think my life has been a fairly ordinary life. I was given a gift to play hurling, to be able to play hurling, and I played it. And that's, I suppose, about the only notoriety that I have. And I'm grateful to however I got that, whoever gave it to me, and whoever nurtured it. And I suppose the nurturing of it was probably important to speak up for the people who nurture young people and help them and assist them and put the wheels in motion for them and encourage them, and you know, they would have been, you know, Doyle Carey, John Henley, then into Flannan, and then Father Harry Bowen, you know, all of those people. From my own point of view, for what I got out of the game, I was happy to name them and mention those, and everybody, any player has those people, I suspect, you know.
Yes. Presumably, like everybody else, you want to get back out watching hurling, watching live hurling. What about the future of Clare hurling? We've had some great years down through the more recent decades. What about the future, John, do you think?
Yeah, Clare hurling is always going to be tough. There I am again, I'm sounding like Tiger Woods. But, you know, we don't have it's not a huge county. You know, we don't have a huge panel of or pool of players, so I think it's going to be cyclical, you know. And I think, I suppose, what we might have done in the 70s is that we sort of set maybe a plateau, and then the team of the 90s obviously came and, you know, moved up from that plateau again, and then the team, you know, in the 2013 again did the same thing. It's going to be hard all the time to maintain that highest position, but we have to work at every level, at schools level, at club level, at county board level, at academy level, at colleges, to, you know, to wring the last bit we can out of whatever talent we have. And anybody that sort of thinks that the quick solution is not living in the real world, and it just requires everybody, I think, to unify and get behind and make the game available to every young fella and every young girl, and there are more and more girls playing, which is great. That whole culture is good, I think, for the game. And I suppose we have to try and unite and get rid of division and just put what is in the best interest of Clare hurling to the foremost and work towards that.
We look forward to brighter days, Johnny. Thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. We appreciate it. John Canlan's book, of course, To Play to Live, in all good bookshops. I'm looking at the ennisbookshop.ie website, for example, but a good Google search will tell you where you can get your hands on that, To Play to Live.